Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, there is a very sad press release that was put out today by a pro-life leader in Wichita, Cheryl Sullinger. And we're going to talk through that. I'm going to read you that press release endorsing the compromise in South Dakota. They have introduced a new law that indicates that you can kill the baby if the father is a criminal. So pro-lifers are supporting a law once again that says you cannot kill the baby except if the father's a criminal. And that is a law that ends with the words, and then you could kill the baby, so to speak. And that should tell anyone that it's a bad law. So we'll talk through that. I'll read you that press release in just 1 minute. But first, great news for those who have followed this show. You know Doug McBurney. Doug is a worship leader at our church, Denver Bible Church. And he's been a co-host of this show for years, on and off, worked in our office here at Bob Enyart Live for years. And they just had a baby, Doug and Takako McBurney. That's his wife's name, Takako. Just had Zoe McBurney, and she's now made her entrance into the world. 7 pounds, 4 ounces. Lots of dark hair. Lots of dark hair. I tell you, she's going to have a rough time competing with Nikki, Nicole, because Nikki's got to be the cutest baby young girl in the world. So I don't know how Zoe's going to compete, but we'll see. Okay. All right. So to this press release, this is very sad when Christians and brothers and sisters in the battle against abortion end up with such strong disagreements. And so I'll read you this, and then we'll go to a local pro-life leader for some comments. All right, here we go. Operation Rescue. For immediate release, press release, South Dakota reintroduces abortion ban with stiffer penalties. That sounds good right there. Pierre, South Dakota, January 31st, 2007. Today, the South Dakota House of Representatives once again introduced an abortion ban, but this time with harsher penalties. The new bill increases punishment for illegal abortion to a Class 4 felony, punishable by 10 years in prison. All right, that's a reasonably stiff punishment for abortion. Abortion is murder. But let's continue. Last year, South Dakota became the first state since the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision in 1973 to pass a near-total ban on abortion. But the law was challenged by a voter referendum where it was narrowly defeated because it did not include exceptions for rape and incest. Now, that's one way to look at it. Another way is it failed because the public has been convinced that abortion should be legal for rape and incest. Right? George W. Bush opposed this law. He would not endorse it, and he said he believes that a woman has a right to kill her baby if the father's a criminal. So anyway, they said, so the law last year failed because it did not include exceptions for rape and incest. About 870 abortions take place in South Dakota every year, according to the most recent statistics listed with the Alan Guttmacher Institute, a pro-abortion organization that tracks abortion numbers. By the way, he, in the past, was the president of Planned Parenthood, and now he runs the Alan Guttmacher Institute. And then there is a quote from Cheryl Sullinger, spokesperson from Operation Rescue, out of Wichita, quote, "We know that some in the pro-life movement will oppose this legislation because of the rape and incest exceptions, but we believe that position is irresponsible," said Cheryl Sullinger, Operation Rescue spokesperson. A statistical analysis. I didn't know that you needed to do a statistical analysis to determine whether or not something is right or wrong, but a statistical analysis of abortions done in South Dakota indicates that if the current bill passes into law, even with the rape and incest exceptions, numerically it would allow only one abortion every 4 years. Now that sounds tempting, correct? But the reality is much more grave than that. We'll get to that. But you don't support a law that says, and then you could kill the baby, even if it sounds tempting pragmatically, because when you try to do evil, that good might come of it. Evil always comes of it. So we'll talk through this and why this is. This means, Cheryl's quote continues, this means that over a 4-year period, this legislation would save the lives of almost 3,500 children. And in a moment, we'll explain why it's already cost the lives, this kind of legislation, of millions of kids. So the claims cannot be verified because they're false. To oppose this legislation would have to be considered pro-abortion. How's that? It would have to be considered pro-abortion. Okay, so then they go on, but that's the meat of it. That's the meat of it. And then about Operation Rescue, OR is one of the leading pro-life Christian activist organizations in the nation. And we have gone out of our way to befriend OR, support OR. I was the director of Operation Rescue Colorado for some time. The state office, the headquarters, was in my home for a year or two. So that was years ago when Operation Rescue was still doing rescues. But now let's go to the phones, and I'd like to bring on Brian Rohrbaugh. Brian, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Brian is the president of Colorado Right to Life. So, Brian, let's talk through this. Operation Rescue is saying that this law in South Dakota that allows abortion for rape and incest is a very good law, and it's irresponsible to oppose it.
Yeah, that's a really tragic statement that they've made. The reality is the very thing that they're proposing to allow to be legal mm-hmm. is the very thing that started abortion in this country mm-hmm. right here in Colorado.
Right here in Colorado, 40 years ago, Dick Lamb introduced this legislation signed into law by a Republican governor that abortion should be legal for the hard cases.
That's right.
Abortion should be legal for the hard cases. And here we are 40 years later, and most of our pro-life organizations and almost all of our pro-life Republican candidates and so on have the same position that started the slaughter 40 years ago, that abortion should be legal in hard cases. And so why is it that that is a dangerous position to reinforce in the mind of the public? What's so bad about that? Abortion should be legal in hard cases.
Well, of course, it completely undermines the argument that the baby is a person and should be recognized as a person.
Hmm.
And so just by putting this provision in this law, I think it's doomed to fail.
Well, that is certainly possible. It may fail. It may pass. And of course, we know from history that when courts have said, well, you could have abortion if you're raped, then suddenly the incidence of rape goes up through the roof. It's like in Europe, where you could get 60% of your pay if you have a back injury, and pretty soon 30% of the public have back injuries.
Well, that's right. And then, of course, you know, the undermining principle is this law is evil.
Right.
You know, I say it'll fail. You know, I wish that they would have had the courage to do what they did last year mm-hmm. or to strengthen that.
And do it again and do it better and do it stronger.
Right. And I think they lost last year not because there wasn't an exception for rape or incest, but because they allowed Planned Parenthood to paint the victim of rape as the ultimate victim, and they never told the public the baby is the ultimate victim.
Yeah, in other words, the woman is the victim in rape, and one solution to that, according to Vote Yes on 6, the pro-lifers in South Dakota, they were advocating that women would use an abortifacient, the morning after pill, Plan B, if they're raped. They produced a slick TV commercial that ran on their own pro-life website saying that the best medical treatment for women who have been raped includes the Plan B morning after pill, so that the pro-lifers were selling that abortifacient as a wonderful thing for women, and that undermines the argument that the baby is a person with a right to life.
Well, that's exactly right. And our authority comes from God. It doesn't come from the Supreme Court or some man-given law. It comes from God's law, do not murder. We don't have the authority, and we've never had the authority to compromise that. Mm. And this law, once again, it goes right back down that direction of compromising. And, you know, these people have now sided with Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is going to advertise that, look, even the people who wrote the law believe abortion is okay.
Right, of course. Abortion, it's not the personhood of the child. It's a political issue. Maybe it's a control issue. Maybe people like the old style where mom stays home barefoot and pregnant. But whatever it is to these pro-lifers, it's not the personhood of the child. Because if it was, if they believed it was murder, they would not advocate that you can kill the baby if the baby's father is a criminal. And that argument is not lost on the masses. The masses get the idea that this is about politics and compromise. And who knows but that ending abortion one day, it may never happen until we have judges and Christian leaders and pro-life leaders who will say we will never compromise on the right to kill a single innocent baby. You don't have it. We will not compromise on it.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's interesting, in this press release, they go on to mention that Georgia introduced an abortion ban earlier this year. Now, I have just printed a copy of that, and I haven't had a chance to read it thoroughly, but they say that that bill is ideal. And from what I'm reading in this bill, it looks like the ideal bill. It starts with calling a baby a person from the moment they are conceived. And so it may have flaws in it. I'm certainly not endorsing it without studying it.
Right, sure.
But it's interesting to me that these guys talk about the ideal bill in the press release where they're presenting a really bad bill.
Okay, so now let's see if we could make it really clear for people listening. The floodgates of abortion were opened in America 40 years ago when it became legal to kill babies in the hard cases.
Right, the hard cases meaning that they were conceived as a result of either a rape or incest.
Or maybe if the baby is deformed. Just that was the argument that opened the floodgates. Abortion for the hard cases. And what that did was destroy the personhood of the baby in the mind of our culture and our courts and our government.
That's right. It made the baby property,
right,
and it gave society the right to decide who was worth living and who they could kill.
Right. So if you destroy the personhood of the baby by saying if the father's a criminal, you could kill the baby. If the baby is handicapped, you could kill the baby. In the hard cases, then it becomes a debate over the hard cases.
Right.
In which cases are hard enough to justify killing the baby. And unfortunately, we live in a democracy where majority eventually finds their will into the law. And so the majority is already inclined to compromise on God's standard. They're humanist.
Right.
And so if the Christian leaders reinforce year after year, campaign after campaign, legislative initiative after candidate, if they reinforce abortion is wrong except for the hard cases, then the masses become convinced, not by Planned Parenthood, not by the ACLU, but by the Christian pro-life leaders. The masses become convinced that abortion should be legal in the hard cases, and that destroys the personhood of the child.
Right. And for 40 years, we have thousands of examples of this. And now, once again, we have someone proposing this. And consider the press release. You know, the sentence that says to oppose this legislation would have to be considered pro-abortion.
Right.
I mean, that is an incredible statement. And by the way, I think that's directed directly to me.
Yeah.
Because of the stand we've taken fighting national right to life.
Yeah, as the
for their wicked proposals.
Exactly. Brian Rohrbaugh is the president of Colorado Right to Life. You guys have been basically saying to the nation, there is new leadership available for the pro-life movement. And that leadership right here in Colorado, and anyone else wants to join in, you're welcome. We are urging people to stop compromising on God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder. And so, exactly, they knew who this shot over the bow was at, and they shot it to the west,
right,
from Wichita to Denver. And so now here we are with millions in the pro-life movement have been convinced over the last decades that compromising on God's command, do not murder, is very pragmatic, it's practical, and the only way we're going to really achieve victory one day is if we all could join hands and compromise on do not murder and support candidates and laws that say, and then you could kill the baby. So our argument is that when you do wrong, the consequences are devastating. So they're saying this law would only see one baby get killed every 4 years in South Dakota.
Right.
We could look back to November to show that that's not true. The reason abortion is legal in South Dakota today is that the masses believed that abortion should be legal for rape and incest.
Well, sure. No, that's exactly right. And I look at the hypocrisy in this. These guys have a provision to allow abortion, but then they say anyone who questions their judgment has to be pro-abortion. It's just... It's absolutely amazing to me, the hypocrisy in this entire statement. And it's frustrating because these guys passed a ban on abortion. I mean, we have to put it in perspective. The lawmakers did the right thing. They passed it. And because of a failed strategy that didn't know right from wrong, the voters overturned it, but not by a huge margin.
Yeah, clarity.
They should have come back.
Right.
And they should have done a better job and never compromised. Even this statement says that the reason the law lost was because it didn't have an exclusion for rape and incest. And that's a bogus statement without a foundation.
Right. Because the reason it lost, because there was no then you could kill the baby if his father's a criminal.
Right.
It lost of that because George W. Bush, that's his position, that abortion should be legal in the hard cases, and that's the position of most of our pro-life leaders, and most pro-life organizations are willing to support laws that say, and then you could kill the baby in the hard cases, and that's convinced millions that could have been convinced that killing a baby is wrong under all circumstances. Some of those millions could have been convinced it's always wrong. And now we have undermined our own lifeline, which is the personhood of the child.
That's right.
So, Brian, here's what they did in South Dakota. They said they get into the campaign and they're worried about Planned Parenthood saying, well, this would mean you can't have an abortion if you're raped. So they came out actually on the side of supporting abortion for rape, and they were bragging about the morning after pill, Plan B, as a wonderful thing for women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did that. And in doing that, of course, they convinced the public that they themselves didn't even believe what they were preaching.
Hmm. Yeah, and the way they did that, in fact, was rather tragic. VoteYesForLife.com, the people who ran the campaign, they set up a sister organization, Vote Yes, or whatever it was, and they pretended it was another organization that created the ad. They ran it on their own website, and it looked identical. It had their tag on it, and their treasurer was the treasurer to the bogus organization they set up. So they knew they were doing something shady.
Well, they knew they were doing something wrong.
Something wrong.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's so tragic because had they used the wisdom that has been available, throughout the history of man, had they used that wisdom, the biblical wisdom, and had they followed simple principles,
right,
they would have known to explain that the baby is a person. And even if they were conceived out of a crime, it's still a person with a God-given right life.
Yeah, imagine if they would have made that strong argument, taking a clear position consistent with the law they had just passed. Instead, they compromised and they said, hey, abortion is okay for rape and incest. And so what they could have done, you know, the talking points that Colorado Right to Life uses on abortion for rape and incest that we've used here at Bob and Yurt Live.
Right.
That really, they came from Joe Scott, one of the leading pro-life activists in Colorado, being at the abortion clinic day in and day out for year after year after year. And it crystallized in her thinking that the abortion clinic helps to cover up the crime of incest. The abortionist typically sends the victim back home to her rapist. The abortion clinic often sends the victim back home with the relative who raped her. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young niece or sister or relative. Abortion for incest helps the rapist escape being caught. Abortion for incest tempts the rapist to repeat his crime. So what comes across as the most wonderful and caring health care for women actually is brutally evil, and the consequences are devastating. It emboldens, it actually brings about more rape from family members than if we never had such a wicked law.
Well, that's true. And in fact, on the Colorado Right to Life website, there'll be some things posted, actually a link to YouTube, that has the phone calls that were made to different abortion clinics
right.
by a girl pretending to be underage, 13 or 14,
mm-hmm.
Having a 22-year-old boyfriend and being pregnant. And when you listen to this, it's really stunning, but you're exactly right. Every clinic tells the girl, you know, don't tell us how old your boyfriend is. He could get in trouble. Don't use his name. You know,
right.
all of that.
Right.
And so they are protecting the criminal
mm-hmm.
in that scenario. And, of course, right here in Colorado, we have an attorney general, John Southers, in his office, that even though they've been brought the information and the evidence, they don't want to act upon it. And we saw that Phil Klein in Kansas was thrown out of office for doing the right thing.
Right, exactly. So the pro-life leaders like National Right to Life and others, they'll look at Phil Klein, and the lesson they'll take from that is don't do the right thing.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Be sneaky.
Right. Don't prosecute. Don't obey the law. Don't enforce the law.
Right. Because we want power. We want political power and influence. And eventually, in 3 or 30 or 300 years, eventually we'll do the right thing. But when you compromise as a Christian organization or a Christian ministry year in and year out, pretty soon you forget what the right thing is.
Right. And that's what we're seeing today. And you know what? There's never enough power. There's never enough people in authority. When you use that kind of mentality, you will never reach a time when you will say, now it's time to do the right thing.
Mm.
You have to start off doing the right thing
yeah.
and risk the consequences, as
right.
you always say.
Yeah, and look at Daniel. You know, Daniel was one of the three governors over the whole empire. King Darius is about to appoint him, so he's head of the entire empire. And then this law was passed, you can't pray to any god but to the king for 30 days. So all Daniel had to do was lie low. Just keep a low profile for 30 days. He's got his position. He's got all the authority in the world. But instead, he boldly violated that law, and he honored God outwardly. He didn't care what the practical, pragmatic implications would be. And because of that, God loved Daniel dearly. And imagine if Daniel had compromised and said, well, it's not a big deal. I'll just pray in my heart. I'm just going to pray in my heart so we can move along with this.
Well, that is exactly the example the pro-life movement needs. We can never elevate man's law over God's law. And we must obey God regardless of what man says.
Right, exactly. Brian, a couple more things. In this email, it says that if you oppose this law, the South Dakota law that says, and then you could kill a baby, that would be irresponsible. And then to explain that, it says a statistical analysis of abortions in South Dakota. And I don't think you need to do a statistical analysis to determine right and wrong.
No, you don't.
No, you got 10 commandments. And then 10,000 man-made laws and probably 10 million judicial rulings and precedents.
Right.
So you do a statistical analysis. That's pretty easy to confuse people with statistics.
Right.
But right and wrong is really simple. God gave an enduring command do not kill the innocent, thou shalt not murder, and you have pro-life Christian leaders who argue that if you're not willing to compromise on that law, you're not a good Christian, you're not a good pro-lifer, you are pro-abortion.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's the mentality of they want to attack us first in hopes that we'll be quiet and let them have their way without controversy.
Right.
But you have a statement that you make which says, no child killing with tranquility.
Right.
Now, that applies to the pro-life movement as well.
Mm.
And so we do not have the right to do a law like this. But beyond that, there is no reason to do a law like this.
Mm.
And this is the very worst place this type of law could be introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's absolutely tragic.
Yeah, and then their press release ends with this statement, Operation Rescue will continue to work on behalf of life until all preborn babies in every state once again enjoy the legal protections of personhood.
Right.
Now, that is exactly what is wrong with pro-lifers trying to put a law on the books that destroys personhood. Because if you could kill the baby because his father's a criminal, then you're telling the public that personhood is not a valid argument.
Well, you certainly are. And you're taking what you're calling the hardest case.
Yes.
You know, the hardest case is where you establish your credibility.
Hmm.
It's easy to do the right thing when there's nothing wrong at stake.
Right.
It's when you have the hardest case, the most difficult decision, the most innocent person, the easiest person to undermine because their father's a criminal and there's a second victim. That's where you have to stand up and tell the world, I will follow God's word,
right,
and I will do the right thing, and no, you cannot murder this child.
Right, exactly. So thank you, Brian. We're out of time, but thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob,
for joining us. May God bless you. Appreciate that. All right, what a tragedy. Our video, Focus on the Strategy, lays this out really clearly and shows that when Christians get into moral relativism and humanism, we end up getting worse and worse and worse. And boy, is it bad. It's bad. Hey, tomorrow we begin our telethon, our February telethon, to keep Bob and Yurt live on the radio. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Wow, what a great school, Maranatha.